Hi, welcome to today's On This Day in Tudor History. I'm Claire Ridgway. I write Tudor history books and research Tudor history on a daily basis, totally immersed in Tudor history every day. So, getting my Tudor fix on a regular basis. One of the books that I've written is On This Day in Tudor History, which inspired me to do these talks, bringing you Tudor history events for each day of the calendar year and travelling in time back to the Tudor period. Now, before I launch into today's On This Day in Tudor History, I think I need to set the scene for you. Now, we've travelled back in time to July 1553 today. Lady Jane Grey has been chosen by Edward VI as his heir, his successor, and she became queen on his death on the 6th of July 1553. However, there was a problem with this. Edward's eldest half-sister, Mary, who was the daughter of Henry VIII and Catherine of Aragon, believed that she was Edward's true heir and the rightful Queen of England. So she had declared herself Queen at her home at Kenninghall following the news of Edward's death. And on the 12th of July, 1553, Mary had moved from Kenninghall to Framlingham Castle, and she'd begun to rally support. And between the 12th and 15th of July, Mary's supporters and forces had grown in number. These supporters included influential men like Sir Edward Hastings, Henry Radcliffe, Earl of Sussex, Sir Thomas Cornwallis, Thomas Lord Wentworth, Sir Henry Bedingfield, John de Vere, Earl of Oxford, and many other prominent people and families of Eastern England, such as the Rochesters, the Jerninghams, and the Waldegraves. So she'd got a lot of prominent, important people on her side. And Mary was proclaimed queen in various counties and towns. Now, let's move on to this day in 1553, the 15th of July. It was on this day in 1553 that the royal ships that had been guarding the coastline of the east of England, and they'd been guarding it for Queen Jane, swapped their allegiance to Queen Mary. Now, their crews had not been paid, and they received a visit from Sir Henry Jerningham asking them to swap their support from Queen Jane to Mary. And really, this was an easy decision for unpaid men. The lack of money, their queen, their new queen, hadn't paid them yet, so it was a bit of a no-brainer for them. And in the navy of Edward VI and Mary I, by C.S. Knighton, Knighton explains that Sir Henry Jerningham had been in Mary's service since 1528 and had gone at once to join her at Kenninghall. He then mustered support for her cause in Suffolk. Jerningham heard of the ships in the Orwell from a drunken sailor late on the night of 14th of July and found them beached at Landguard Point early the next morning. Now, Robert Wingfield of Brantham, who accompanied Jerningham, recorded the following. Very early the next day, Jerningham, accompanied by Tyrrell and Glennon, rowed up to inspect the ships thus brought to the haven by a lucky tide and wind, as they say. When they'd reached the haven, he ordered Richard Brooke, the squadron's commander, a diligent man and skilled in seamanship, to be called to him, and took him to Framlingham Castle to bring news of this happy and unexpected arrival to the Queen. This happened on 15th of July. Next day, Thomas Lord Wentworth arrived to avoid the appearance of breaking his pledge, clad in splendid armour and accompanied by a not inconsiderable military force, besides several gentlemen of the county who were wont to go in his company. I would like to record for this treatise the more notable men who led any of the military reinforcements for this loyal campaign. There was Sir Richard Cavendish, a veteran campaigner with his two sons, Sir Henry Doyle, also with two sons, Robert Wingfield, son of the late Sir Anthony Wingfield, with his two brothers, Anthony and Henry, Lionel Tolmash, a man well supplied with ancient lineage and wealth, Edward Withypole, a man of diligence, John Southall and Francis Nunn, both lawyers, Robert Wingfield of Brantham, John Colby, an experienced soldier with his two brothers, Jennings, skilled in warfare, and others not less active, whom I forget at the moment. That nobleman, most striking both in appearance and dress, came with a splendid force of both heavy and light horse and of infantry. There is no doubt that his arrival wonderfully strengthened the morale of the Queen's army and much dispirited the enemy. And the Chronicle of Queen Jane, which is a contemporary source, a contemporary record of the time, records, about this time or thereabouts, the six ships that were sent to lie before Yarmouth, that if she had fled to have taken her, was by force of weather driven into the haven, whereabout that quarters one Master Jerningham was raising power on Queen Mary's behalf, and hearing thereof came thither. Whereupon the captains took a boat and went to their ships. Then the mariners asked Master Jerningham what he would have, and whether he would have their captains or no. And he said, "Yea, Mary." Said they, "Ye shall have them, or else we shall throw them to the bottom of the sea." The captain, seeing this perplexity, said forthwith they would serve Queen Mary gladly, and so came forth with their men and conveyed certain great ordnance, of the which coming in of the ships the late Mary and her company were wonderfully joyous, and then afterwards doubted smallly the Duke's puissance. So there you have an account explaining that these ships that were off the eastern coast were guarding that coast to apprehend Mary in case she tried to flee from East Anglia and took ship to flee into exile or to do something else to round up more support. So Queen Jane's ships were guarding against Mary, but Mary's supporters managed to get them on the side of Mary. Just 4 days later, Mary was proclaimed Queen of England, becoming Queen Mary I of England. And of course, this led to the arrest of Queen Jane, Lady Jane Grey. She ended up in the Tower of London. Well, she actually was already at the Tower. She'd been proclaimed Queen at the Tower of London and then became a prisoner at the Tower of London and remained a prisoner there till her execution in February 1554. So this was a key day when these ships swapped their allegiance. Very interesting, the events of July 1553, how it was a month of two queens. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it, and don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.